All right, so today we're going deep on C.S. Lewis.
Oh,
We're talking
yeah.
about the guy who wrote like the Narnia books and Mere Christianity.
Yeah, big name. Big in like Christian circles for sure.
For sure. I got some notes here that I took just last week on March 18th,
Okay.
2025.
Gotcha.
And then we're going to pull from some articles from Christian Culture News to try to figure out like what's the deal with this guy? Why is he still so popular today?
Why is he still so relevant?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what did he tap into?
Exactly. And I think one of the things that we'll really see kind of emerge as we go through this is how he so masterfully blended together faith and reason.
Oh, interesting.
You know, he wasn't afraid to engage with the intellect, but he also had this really deep understanding of the human heart and how to connect with people on a spiritual level.
Okay, so like an emotional level too, not just like a purely academic.
Exactly. It wasn't just dry theology. It was something that could really move people and speak to their deepest longings and questions. And of course, we can't forget about the Chronicles of Narnia. I mean, those stories have captured the imaginations of
Oh,
generations.
yeah, totally.
So we'll delve into those.
Okay.
We'll explore the rich layers of allegory, the way that he uses fantasy to convey these deep moral and spiritual truths. And we'll also look at his impact on other authors and even on modern media, like, you know,
On film adaptations
the
only.
film adaptations and just the broader cultural conversation.
Okay, awesome.
So, yeah, should be a good deep dive.
Cool. Well, so just get started, like really basic. Who was this guy?
All right, so C.S. Lewis, born in Belfast, Ireland, back in 1898.
Wow. Okay, so like turn of the century.
Yeah, exactly. And you can already see, even from a young age, he was drawn to storytelling.
All right.
Literature was his passion. So it's no surprise he ended up at Oxford honing his craft.
Okay.
And eventually he made quite a name for himself, became a really prominent figure in literature, theology, philosophy.
Wow, so like a really well-rounded guy.
Absolutely a true Renaissance man in many ways.
Okay, so he's writing all this stuff. But I mean, the two things that I think of when I think of C.S. Lewis are Mere Christianity and the Chronicles of Narnia.
For sure. Those are the two big ones that really stand out, I think, in his legacy.
Yeah, so let's start with Mere Christianity because that seems like a good place to start.
It's good foundation.
Yeah, so this book, it actually came out of a series of radio talks that he gave during World War II.
Yeah, really interesting time period. You know, the world was in such turmoil. There was so much uncertainty.
Yeah, everyone's trying to figure out what's going on.
Right, exactly. And people were really searching for meaning and hope.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all that, Lewis steps up and he starts giving these radio talks aimed at explaining the core of Christian belief in a way that would make sense to anyone.
Okay, so it was a really specific audience he had in mind.
Yeah, he wasn't just preaching to the choir. He
Right.
really wanted to reach those who might be skeptical, those who maybe had never really considered Christianity before.
So, like, to break down the barriers.
Yeah. To exactly break down those barriers, present the faith in a rational and accessible way.
Okay. And how did he go about doing that?
Well, he really focused on kind of distilling Christian teachings down to their most essential elements.
Okay.
So he talked about things like, you know, the existence of a universal moral law,
Interesting.
the idea that there's this kind of inherent understanding of right and wrong that's common to all humanity.
Okay. Yeah, I think I see where he's going with this.
Right. And he argued that this points towards a higher power, towards something beyond just our own subjective preferences.
Okay, so he's using like logic and reason.
Exactly. He's appealing to our sense of reason, not just our emotions. He also talked about the significance of free will, you
Okay.
know, our capacity to choose between good and evil, and how that's essential to understanding the whole concept of morality.
Right, because if we don't have a choice, then it doesn't really.
Then there's no meaning to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, he explored the nature of God's
Oh,
love,
yeah.
you know, and he presented this idea of divine sacrifice as the ultimate expression of that love.
So what you're saying is that in Mere Christianity, Luce was basically making a case for the idea that faith and reason can actually work together.
That's exactly right. He was really trying to bridge that divide that often exists between the head and the heart.
So they don't have to be at odds.
Not at all. In fact, he argued that belief can be something that's both intellectually sound and deeply moving.
Wow. So he's really appealing to like a broad audience then.
Absolutely. And that's why Mere Christianity has continued to be so influential even to this day.
Yeah, it's definitely still like a foundational text for a lot of people.
For sure. And I think it speaks to this kind of enduring human need for meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
And that the way that Lewis presented those ideas in such a clear and compelling way continues to resonate with people across generations.
Okay, so we've talked about Mere Christianity, which is obviously a huge part of his work, but then there's Narnia. Like, we have to talk about Narnia.
Oh, we can't leave Narnia out of the picture.
Absolutely not.
So, The Chronicles of Narnia, this magical series of seven fantasy novels published between 1950 and 1956.
Okay.
These books take us to this incredible world called Narnia.
Yeah.
Filled with talking animals, mythical creatures, magic, all sorts of wonder.
And it's such a classic story of good versus evil.
Exactly. You have these epic battles, mm-hmm. these timeless themes.
Yeah.
But what makes these stories so special is how Lewis so masterfully weaves in those moral lessons and theological themes.
Oh, yeah. He's not just writing a fun fantasy story.
No, there's a real depth to it.
Yeah.
There's a purpose behind the fantasy.
And a lot of that is achieved through the characters themselves, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you think about the White Witch, for example.
Yeah. She's like the epitome of evil.
Exactly. She embodies that kind of cold, calculating malevolence.
Yeah.
But then you have Aslan.
Yeah, like the majestic lion.
The kingly lion who represents something so much greater.
So like a Christ figure almost.
Exactly. He's widely interpreted as a Christ-like figure. Mm. And his actions throughout the stories really embody those core Christian themes of sacrifice, redemption, justice, and unconditional love.
Oh, yeah. Like in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yes, the class.
That moment where Aslan willingly sacrifices himself on the stone table to save Edmund.
So powerful.
It's a direct parallel to the story of Jesus, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's what makes it so impactful.
Yeah.
Because it takes these profound theological concepts mm-hmm. and it presents them in a way that's accessible and even moving for people of all ages.
Yeah. Even if you're not coming at it from like a specifically Christian perspective.
Exactly. It's a story that can resonate with anyone who's ever struggled with guilt, forgiveness, redemption.
Totally. And I think what's so brilliant about Lewis's use of allegory in Narnia is that it's not heavy-handed.
Right. It's not preachy.
No, it's very subtle.
Yeah. He invites you to think about these deeper meanings.
Yeah.
But he doesn't force it on you.
You could just enjoy it as a fun fantasy story too.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's part of the reason why these stories have had such lasting power.
They work on multiple levels.
They do.
Okay, so the books were obviously incredibly popular, but then you've got the film adaptations.
Oh, yeah. The Narnia movies.
Like, they brought this whole new wave of popularity to C.S. Lewis, didn't they?
They did. They really reignited that interest in his work.
Yeah, like the first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, came out in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge hit.
It was. And I think it really introduced Lewis's stories to a whole new generation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who might not have picked up the books otherwise.
Yeah, maybe they weren't familiar with them.
Exactly. But suddenly these characters, these worlds, were brought to life on the big screen.
It was visually stunning.
It was. And it really captured the magic and the wonder of the books.
Yeah, and it wasn't just a visual spectacle either.
No, I mean, it still retained those core themes,
mm-hmm.
those moral and spiritual questions that were at the heart of Lewis's work.
Yeah, and people were talking about it.
Oh, yeah. It really sparked a lot of conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's really significant because it shows how relevant Lewis's ideas still are today.
Absolutely. They're not just stuck in the past.
They're still resonating with people in the 21st century.
And not just through the films either.
Oh, right.
I mean, you think about the broader cultural impact.
Yeah, like all the merchandise and the stage productions and everything.
It's become this whole multimedia phenomenon.
And even in educational settings.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
People are using the Narnia stories to teach kids about ethics and morality.
It's a great way to engage with those big ideas.
In a way that's fun and imaginative.
Exactly.
So yeah, the film adaptations definitely played a huge role in keeping Lewis's work alive and relevant.
Okay, so we've talked about his direct impact through his own work.
Yeah.
But he's also had a pretty significant influence on other authors too, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Lewis was a pioneer in blending fantasy and allegory.
Yeah.
And that's had a huge impact on countless authors who've come after him.
Like, who are we talking about specifically? Well, a great example is J.K. Rowling and her Harry Potter series.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
I mean, think about it. You have this world of magic and wonder, but it's also a story about good versus evil.
Like the battle between Harry and Voldemort.
Exactly. And those themes of friendship, loyalty, sacrifice, they're all there.
Yeah. And those are things that Lewis explored extensively in Narnia as well.
Right. So you can definitely see that influence.
Yeah. And it's not just Rowling.
No, there are so many authors who've been inspired by Lewis.
Yeah, like Neil Gaiman?
Yes. Neil Gaiman is a great example.
Yeah, and Susanna Clarke.
Mm-hmm. both of them explore these really intricate spiritual and philosophical themes within their fantasy worlds.
It's like Lewis paved the way for that kind of storytelling.
He showed that you could use fantasy to grapple with these big questions about life and meaning.
And it's not just limited to fantasy either.
No, you see his influence in other genres too.
Like young adult fiction.
Yeah, think about John Green. He tackles these really profound themes of love loss, grief, in a way that's deeply moving and thought-provoking.
And that resonates with a lot of young readers.
It does, and I think there's a connection there to Lewis's ability to connect with readers on that emotional level.
To make those big ideas feel personal and relatable.
Exactly. And then you have authors like Andrew Peterson who are specifically writing from a Christian perspective.
Okay.
But they're doing it in a way that's imaginative and engaging.
Yeah, like his Wingfeather Saga.
Yeah. It's a great example of how Lewis's legacy continues to inspire new generations of storytellers.
So Lewis's influence isn't just limited to books then?
No, not at all. I mean, think about the way his work is discussed and analyzed online.
Oh yeah, on podcasts and social media?
Exactly. There are whole communities dedicated to exploring his ideas.
Wow. So he's still very much a part of the cultural conversation.
Absolutely. And I think that's a testament to the enduring power of his work.
Yeah, like he's not just some old dusty writer from the past.
No, his ideas are still relevant today.
Mm. Now, we've talked a lot about literature and storytelling.
Mm.
But Lewis was also a serious thinker when it came to philosophy and theology, wasn't he?
Oh, for sure. I mean, his work has had a profound impact on those fields.
Yeah, like he really contributed to those ongoing conversations about morality, faith, and the human condition.
Absolutely. You know, his argument for the existence of a universal moral law.
Oh, yeah.
That's still a topic of debate today.
Like whether morality is objective or subjective.
Exactly. And Lewis made a strong case for the idea that there is an objective standard of right and wrong.
Which he believed pointed to a divine creator.
Right. And that idea continues to influence the way people think about ethics and morality.
And his views on faith were also very influential, weren't they?
They were. He argued that faith isn't just blind belief, but that it can be a rational and logical conclusion based on evidence.
So he was trying to bridge that gap between faith and reason.
Exactly. And that's had a huge impact on Christian apologetics.
Like how people defend their faith.
Right. And even beyond specifically Christian circles, Lewis's ideas about faith have resonated with people of other faiths as well.
Hmm. Interesting.
So yeah, his influence in the realm of philosophy and theology is pretty undeniable.
Now, it's important to note that not everyone agrees with everything Lewis said.
Of course.
Like he was a product of his time.
Right.
And some of his views might seem a bit outdated today.
Yeah, and that's okay.
It's important to have those discussions.
To engage with his work critically.
Yeah, and to recognize that even though he was a brilliant thinker, he wasn't perfect.
No one is.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's part of what makes him so interesting to study.
Yeah, because it sparks these conversations and makes us think critically about our own beliefs.
Exactly.
So I guess to wrap things up, what would you say is C.S. Lewis's most enduring legacy?
I think it's his ability to make people think, to challenge them, to grapple with those big questions about life and meaning and faith.
Yeah, and to do it in a way that's both intellectually stimulating and emotionally engaging. Absolutely. He was a master storyteller, a brilliant thinker, and a deeply spiritual man.
And his work continues to resonate with people today because he tapped into something universal.
Yeah, that longing for something more.
That search for truth and meaning.
And that's a search that will always be relevant no matter what generation you belong to.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive.
It has.
I've learned a lot.
Me too.
And I hope our listeners have as well.
I hope so.
So to leave everyone with a final thought.
Okay.
Think about those allegorical themes that we see in Narnia, those battles between good and evil, those sacrifices made for love and redemption.
Mm-hmm.
How do those themes reflect the internal struggles that we all face in our own lives?
That's a great question.
Yeah. And what stories or forms of media do you see today that are carrying on that tradition of blending imaginative storytelling with deeper moral and philosophical inquiries?
Hmm. Yeah. What's carrying the torch?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's something to think about.
It is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of C.S. Lewis.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.